Add this 5, Sandy. 6, Mary. I'm just trying to write the order down because I'll forget later, and then I want to give it to Jazzy to post. Okay, so Mary, you there?
I'm here.
So you've been having platelet issues for a long time, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So let's see. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through here, and then I already have written down a few things that I wanted to recommend for you in terms of additional testing. So the low blood urea nitrogen we've gone over a few times is usually related to protein absorption, not necessarily, but we're going to just mark that. Mostly everything looks really good. Except there's some major ones that are not. So the protein, again, high or low, whether it shows high or low, it usually means that there's some protein possible problems. It could be dehydration when it's high. Your alkaline phosphatase is super, super low, which could suggest zinc as an issue.
Okay.
Maybe other stuff as well. But zinc is a major one that I like to address. It could be vitamin C. And we'll see if other indications show up for that. Whoops. Did I put that there? I'm sorry. I put the wrong one here. I put it in the wrong box. It's here. Okay. So this, the lipid piece is a concern, and especially high platelets plus lipid abnormalities puts you at risk of cardiac incidents, right? So because your platelets, you know, are causing more clotting and the cholesterol levels are high, the triglycerides are high. It looked like your blood sugar was normal, but your triglycerides are high. And usually that's an indication of blood sugar. So tell me, have you been doing any blood sugar testing on yourself?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So I think you should get a meter.
Okay.
We want to do everything possible to reduce the risk of any kind of cardiac inflammation, thrombosis, et cetera. Do you agree with that? Yeah.
I do.
It's pretty critical.
Very much.
And blood sugar is super, super important for that. So I get yourself a meter. If you have a doctor that you can ask to get you one of these little patches, even better. It's called the Freestyle Libre. It requires a prescription. Most, you know, any kind of doctor can order it, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, a naturopath, a osteopath, an MD, anybody can order it.
Okay.
And, so the way we've usually done it is you go to the website, I have the person order it and put the name in, put the name of your doctor in there, and then it sends them. But you have to check with them in advance, of course. And then all they have to do is put a diagnosis code on there. Okay, so that's the easiest way, but otherwise the blood sugar meters, there's a list. If you go into the site, there's a place that says glucose testing under the assessments, and just go to that page and
right.
Chart, and you can pick out a meter. All right.
Okay.
I'm concerned about this, and I think you should be getting an advanced lipid panel.
Okay.
Okay, we want to see what is going on in there, and we're going to address this from there. There's some nutrients, there's some fatty acids and all, but it would be really good to see how it is, right? To know what we're addressing.
Okay.
All right. The advanced lipid panel, you can go to runmylabs.com and just click on the advanced lipid panel. And there's going to be a couple of other things that I don't know if it includes C-reactive protein. Lynn, do you know if that advanced lipid panel includes the C-reactive protein? But you want to get the advanced lipids, homocysteine, and C-reactive protein. I want to make sure those three are tested because that's going to help us to determine your relative risk and whether, you know, if things look balanced, they're just high, then we'll address it differently than if they're imbalanced. Make sense?
Okay.
You want to get this.
Yeah, I think it does include it.
You think it does?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get to verify that just to make sure. I don't remember. That would be good to know.
I've written it down too. When I actually get to a computer, not my phone, I can look it up.
Okay. Yeah. So if you go to the runmylabs.com, that's my page on the Allen Hopkins site. And okay. The advanced lipid panel, it'll tell you what's in there. In fact, I can look it up right now.
Okay.
And I got the URL because I couldn't remember what my page was and I kept typing it wrong. So I finally said, okay, runmylabs.com is going to go there. See, it's Dr. Dash Rita Marie. I think if you go down here, see my screen, runmylabs.com, you go to cholesterol tests, heart health,
okay.
Advanced lipid panel, and well, it doesn't say what's in it. I don't know if it does. Let's see if it says it here. Test descriptions. Here we go.
Wasn't in mine.
It wasn't? No, so I think you have to order it separately. Advanced lipid panel. This is something. Yeah, I think we need to do. So you're going to do the advanced lipid panel. And then under inflammatory markers, the high sensitivity CRP. And the homocysteine. Okay.
Okay.
Those are the three I think are okay. Really important for you, plus the blood sugar meter. Okay, good. Okay. I keep losing, I have so many of them open. Okay, good.
Do you want me to talk to Dr. Hopkins and see about having the CRP homocysteine on that panel?
Well, we could create our own panel, that would be.
Right.
But, yeah, we can. And I want to talk to him about redoing some of our panels, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would be good. All right, so you don't have a thyroid panel done. And have you ever had...
No, do you think... Should I do one?
I would because, you know, if your metabolic rate is low and we're working on trying to improve the metabolic functioning of your body, it's going to be problematic. So I would, the one that I would order would be, I think I have one up here in my panels, basic plus thyroid, no, complete thyroid. I don't know what this means, but this is, I don't need T3 uptake, but I think that's just, oh, quest code 220. Okay, got it. All right, I don't need this either, so I'm going to ask them to fix that. But basically, it's this one, the complete thyroid panel.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. And that is your antibodies and it just gives me a total thing. All right. So on your white cells, everything's a little bit high.
Okay.
Allergies.
Your red cells a little bit high. Your hemoglobin is a little bit high. You know, in this combination with the high platelets, MCD. MCB is different. MCB is more related to your B12 folate status. And I want to go back up here and compare it to your iron, which we don't have. Okay, so the other thing I would like to see is the iron and the ferritin. Again, with this thickening, okay. This clotting tendency, anything that would do that to the blood, we want to look at, because if there's things we can do to help all these other things, maybe there's a genetic thing that's causing your platelets to be high, but we want to reduce every other possible risk factor related to that.
Definitely.
Makes sense. Okay, so the other one here would be iron and ferritin. I think he has that under nutrient panel, maybe? Yeah, so you would go serum ferritin and iron, this one.
Okay.
Okay. I think I should take a picture. I don't know how to do that because it's spread out. I could just take a picture of the screen when we're done, and then maybe I can do that. I'll figure it out.
Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, Mary. Yeah, so white blood cells, your platelets are way up there. Lymphocytes, neutrophils, why don't we have that? There's a missing number here, neutrophils. I can guess it. Oh, I can calculate it, actually, based on here. 31 plus 6.2 is 37.2, 38, 39, 40.8. So this is going to be 40.8, 100 minus 40.8 would be 59.2. Okay, so your white cell distributions are perfect. Basophils are slightly high, which could indicate a potentially parasite or allergy. But usually with eosinophils are a little bit elevated. So there may be a parasite. There may be some kind of allergy. Do you have specific food allergies or inhalant allergies?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of.
I don't really have any problems with allergies.
Yeah. So no. There may be something gut-wise. I think it's minor enough that this is not my concern right now. I think we need to address the rest of
right.
it. And then if that still persists, correct. Then we can go back and really, you know, look into that
right.
more closely. But it's not high enough for me to want to spend your time worrying about at this point. Hemoglobin A1C is perfect. But again, sometimes people, if, you know, based on fasting, what was your fasting glucose? Was it 85? And your fasting glucose is perfect, but I just want to rule out, just because those triglycerides are high, if these triglycerides were perfect, like they were, you know, between 50 and 75, I would say, you know what, we probably don't have to deal with a blood sugar issue with you. Mm-hmm. But because of the blood cell counts, because of that, I don't want to take a chance that we miss something little like, oh, get the blood sugar balanced. And we missed that. And that's what's, you know, contributing to this problem. So I would
Makes
say,
sense.
You know, if you're having highs and lows, your fasting will be perfect and your hemoglobin A1C will be perfect. But I want to make sure you're not having any of those really high peaks, which cause damage to the endothelial lining and stiffening. And if we add stiffening of your endothelial lining with inflammation, with extra platelets and high lipids, that's, you know, that's putting you at too much risk. And I don't feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
So blood sugar meter, or if you can get them to just get you one of these, that'd be great. Okay. So we got through this. Your vitamin Z is great. Are you taking vitamin D? Is that just natural?
I take 5,000 a day.
Well, that's your sweet spot. So keep it up. Do you take that through the year? This was done in July. You may want to redo your vitamin
July.
D come, you know, come December, January. When, where do you live?
I travel a lot. I am technically, my house is in Tennessee, but I'm not there a lot. I'm like,
okay.
You know,
so you're all over the place, so we can't.
But I'm not in the north a lot right now though. So I'm tend to be where I'm in the sun. I like to go to Florida
So it's not like come
Texas.
Now, November, December, you're going to be stuck indoors with the miserable weather. You're going to be.
No, making. No,
okay.
No.
Okay. Good. So it may not make a difference. You're just, it's a really good number. Okay. And that's it. All right. Let's see what the blood chem software report, if it picks up anything else. This is Mary functional practitioner report. I think I have to go back here. We just had a practitioner report for you, Mary. Okay. And that one. I like the practitioner ones because when something comes up in here, I like to, if there's something that I really want to look in more detail on in the new window, then I have them. So I have both of them open just in case. All right. So this is your, let me move it over to your section. This is it. Make sure that's Mary. No, that's Paula. I just gave it to Paula. I think hers is here. Yeah. Okay. All right, so this is your chemistry, your report from these guys, all the stuff. I don't know how early you were on, but you know, he said, this is all the summary stuff and you can read about it. It's just basically, you don't want to be normal. You want to be optimal.
Right. Yeah. I heard that. I want to be optimal. Definitely. Yeah.
You want to be optimal for sure. All right. So blood sugar regulation, it is pointing that out because of the triglycerides, right? So the same reason I picked it up, even though your blood sugar numbers are good, you might consider if you want to, it's probably an extra $35, but is a fasting insulin. Just to see if that, because the insulin is what actually does the damage to the blood vessel lining. So the blood sugar can be maintained, but the insulin's high, and that would be under sugar metabolism. There, fasting insulin.
Well, I know, you know, like I have a lot of problems if I, at times when I skip, when I don't eat, I get really shaky and, angry and
okay,
you know, so I know there's something not quite right with that.
The insulin. Let's look at the insulin, because I've had people who seem everything seems perfect in their blood sugar, and then so except for this, right? Can't go too long between meals and check their insulin, and it's up through the roof. That's a risk factor. Right. So we'll have to look at that.
Yeah, and then other times I can go a long time without eating, so I don't really understand what makes a difference.
Yeah, well, it could be the composition of the meal that's triggering your body to need more insulin at some times, and then when it's triggered, it goes, wow, it just overshoots the mark, and then it pushes it down. I mean, there's a number of things. I think fasting insulin is going to be what you need.
Okay.
Is this you? Yeah, Mary. You know, it puts your cardiovascular number up here. I'm surprised it isn't higher. Sometimes these reports are confusing to me, but you know, definitely your red blood cells numbers are all off, and cardiovascular, similar to what Diana before, is like, what? How could they not mark that? So this tells us, yeah, so they're looking at your increased triglycerides, LDLs, and cholesterol to say that, but let's look at your fasting insulin just to make sure. Dysfunction lipid panel, obviously. That one's off. And carbohydrate related to the good, the sugar. Let's look at the vitamins in particular that they're going. Zinc, yeah, and I think I may have skipped over it, but I noticed it earlier, was your alkaline phosphatase. Was pretty low. Yeah, 38. So zinc's super important, and zinc is important for cardiovascular health. It's important for immune system health, for hormone health. So I'd be looking at supplementing zinc. And, you know, I'm a real big fan of food first, but with zinc, it's so hard to get it because you need it to get it. You know, you need it to make the hydrochloric acid in order to be able to absorb it. So I'd be looking at liquid like we've been talking about. And given that your number's that low, I'd probably be looking at 30 to 50 milligrams, but work your way up. Depends on how sensitive you are to new supplements, right? Like certain people are very
sensitive. As far as I know, I'm not sensitive.
Well, just, you know, start at 10. If that works, go to 20. If that works, go to 30. If that, you know, just work your way up. But I'd probably get in the range of 40-ish. No, even up to 50.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Zinc is super high. I also look at the thiamine, because the thiamine, it's talking about it because of the anion gap. The glucose is fine. You know, do you take a B complex?
I do.
Do you have any issues with your gut, digestion, absorption?
Well, I don't have a lot, but I know it's not working like it used to, or as well as I'd like it does, like it to, but.
All right.
I mean, it seems like it has very slow digestion.
Slow? So how many bowel movements a day are you having?
Well, usually one, but I mean, it just feels like, you know, if I eat a good meal, even earlier in the day, it's just kind of there all day.
It sits. Yeah, you're not moving. So the bitters, along with the zinc, I would do.
Okay.
Magnesium, and that's just super protective for your heart anyway. you know, probably right. 300 to 500 a day.
Okay.
And then the thiamine, there's a particular one that I like, Ben, F-O-T-I-A-M-I-N-E. I never can pronounce it. Ben Fotiamine, something like that. Seeking Health has that. It's easy. It's cheap. And I would just take one a day.
Okay. And Susan and I were talking about I should be taking some niacin too,
absolutely. And that's absolutely. And I'd like to see the advanced cardio profile to know the amounts. But yeah, if you've got some of the more dense LDLs, then more niacin rather than less. Niacin, CoQ10, the zinc, the magnesium, these are all critically important for that. So yeah, you can get non-flush niacin and go for it. But start with not a non-flush niacin. No, it won't work. A flush niacin. Sorry. It doesn't work with non-flush.
Oh, it does need to be the flush kind.
It has to be the flush kind. They have a slow, I think that Dr. Hopkins recommends one called slow niacin. And it's time release. But just play around with it because niacin can be pretty scary. The flush niacin.
Oh, I know. I've had some flushes.
Yeah. I mean, it's something you want to spread out and start with 50 to 100.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me on 50 they went crazy flush. For me, it took up to 300 before I got a big flush, but then it was like massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the slow niacin is probably a good way to go. I haven't used it, but that's what Dr. Hopkins recommends for all those people that have these lipid abnormalities.
Okay.
And this is just, your pretty report that shows you, we just have one, so we don't have the comparing. Let's see if I missed anything. I don't think I missed anything. I think these reports are just super helpful. Some people give them to their doctors after they get them back. They make a copy and print them out for their doctors. And one guy, I think it was Jay. So I think it might have been Jay. He said, the doctor was very grateful to have the report, thought it was really a good report, because they don't look at it this way, right? They don't think of it this way. And the software,
not at all.
You got to look at it in terms of the big whole picture. Oh, this one marker's out of balance. Let's try to get it in balance. No, what's the big picture? And that's with you. I'm really concerned about making sure that all of those markers are, all the cardioprotective stuff is taken care of.
Right.
Okay. Any questions?
I don't think so. Not that I can think of right now. I'm taking the red sage, I think, and a couple other things. So do you think I should check the platelets sooner or later? Or
I mean, they don't seem to change all that much, do they?
Not a lot.
They don't change a lot. So I would be working on this other stuff first and then change. I would say give it a couple.
Okay.
Get the full panel and all the other stuff done now. Whatever we find there, let's address with the niacin, with the, we already talked about magnesium and zinc and the B.
Right.
And whatever shows up there, we'll go for. But I don't think it's not.
And the magnesium?
Yeah.
The magnesium, do you take that? Should I take that in the at night before I go to bed, in the morning, middle of day?
Does it matter? You just play with it and see what feels best to you. Some people do it at night. If you have trouble having a bowel movement in the morning, taking it at night can really help to trigger a bowel movement. I don't have issues with bowel movements, but I do get muscle cramps when I don't take magnesium, and I take it in a liquid form. I think I have one here, but I brought it downstairs. But I take it in a liquid form, and that's really not going to trigger my bowels. But if we're trying to get you to have two bowel movements on a regular basis, at night would be good.
Right.
It depends on how you react to it too. Like if you're one that takes magnesium and within a couple hours you have to go, that might not be a good thing to do when you're on your way to work in the morning, or you're about to get on a bus or get on a plane, right? So I think you just have to play with your body. Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Hana Aura, let me check you off. I'm going to stop this recording. Stop recording.